is Taz.
The mood is about to change.
The Human Podcast Machine.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
Hey guys, what's going on? This is Taz, and I'm going to give you a quick breakdown, my viewpoints and opinions and reaction to WWE Fastlane, which just concluded. They banged this bad boy out in Memphis, Tennessee. And got to say, it was definitely as the show went on, it built much better as far as the matches and the booking and the audience. And speaking of the audience, it just was, man, it was flat. It was definitely flat. You could, you know, read some of the Twitter buzz from fans and some other people in the business could tell that the crowd was definitely not hot early on. And I got to be honest, I mean, if I'm armchair booking, which, by the way, I did like the show, the WWE Fastlane show. If you didn't see it, you should check it out on their network or wherever you would find it. I don't know how that works, but I will tell you this. I thought it was a good show. I think you should definitely watch it, especially for the last few matches for sure. And the Sting Triple H confrontation was excellent. But, you know, I really think you got to start the show off. The normal, you know, formula for a lot of companies for years with pay-per-views are, you know, you got to kick it off with a match that's going to move. You know, so when you see it's a six-man match and you got out of the six guys, four of them of large-bodied individuals, big dudes, massive dudes, like 6'7", 6'8", you know, over 320, 330 pounds. Those are big people. And big people aren't known for bring a lot of speed and energy and exuberance to matches. That's not their style, you know? So you have Roman Reigns on one end and you have Ziggler on one end and Rollins, the RO thing threw me off, and Seth Rollins on the other. Those were two guys with the Porsches on those two teams that were filled with tanks. So, you know, the match kicks off and it's like, you know, Ziggler and Rollins and but by the time all the combatants got in the ring and the bell rang and all this stuff, it was already like, ugh. It just kind of started off against the eight ball, and it just set the tone in a slower pace. Now, I kind of tweeted something sarcastic during it, you know, and it was, again, it was Ziggler, Rowan, and Ryback versus Big Show, Kane, and Rollins. And the thing is, man, I have nothing but respect for all six of these guys for sure. I mean, several of them I know very well. But My issue is with the booking of it. I don't understand why, and it's not just WWE. I mean, other wrestling companies do the same thing. You know, I mean, TNA has done it before too. I mean, you got to have two guys or four guys in a tag match, or for a six man, six guys that can have some flow, some chemistry. And I don't see how you can see chemistry in these six guys. I just don't see it. I mean, Ziggler versus Rollins, yeah, I'd watch that all day. That's great stuff, you know. But the other big bodies, man, it's just oil and water. Now, to the WWE's credit, you know, I'm saying it's bad booking in my opinion on putting these six guys together in a matchup to kick off the Fastlane pay per view to go home pay per view for WrestleMania. But to WWE's credit, I mean, look. To be honest, they're trying to get all these other guys on the show. They're trying to get them on the pay-per-view. You know, that's how you make more money. That's how you keep your name up going and whatnot. So to WWE's credit, even though I wasn't a fan of the match, the booking of the match, meaning not even necessarily the finish, but the combatants in the match. I don't know, you know, it doesn't scream, oh, God, this is going to be an awesome six-man, you know. But to their credit, they're trying to get these guys on the show, which is cool. I think that's good. You know, I also think it going into the next segment was Goldust versus Stardust. And, you know, it was, by the way, I forgot one thing. Randy Orton returned, by the way, which was huge. I mean, when Randy came out at the end of the six man with the whole, I just thought it was great. The audience came to life. Then they got flat again. You know, so, but I did think it was great to see Randy Orton back, and it was, you know, back at that, in that explosive of a moment for him, because he did get an explosive reaction, and I thought it was really cool. But now back to what I was saying about Goldust versus Stardust. That, too, it's a brother versus brother thing, and you got Dusty Rhodes, who's just a living legend, Hall of Famer, The dad, he's in the middle of this thing, for lack of better terms, and it's kind of a funky, story. You know, it's brother versus brother. So that's, doesn't really, I mean, and honestly, that they didn't put many, many, you know, a plethora of weeks into the angle. So it's a lower end angle on a card. And I thought Cody and Dustin worked their ass off, but it just didn't, it didn't click. Now the finish seemed out of nowhere, the way Goldust won the match over Stardust, you know, Dustin over Cody. So it seemed a little funky. I'm trying to remember what it was. Again, I don't write this stuff down. I think it was a backside, if I remember correctly. Something, a roll, some kind of a back roll. I just can't recall. I apologize. But I do know this much. The pinfall kind of came out of nowhere. I think really what happened was, I to be honest, I think Cody Rhodes, Stardust, got stuck. He got stuck. We call it get stuck. You know, sometimes with certain type of pinfalls, you get stuck, and you kick out a little late. And to the referee's credit, he pinned him. And that might sound like, wow, wrestling's, it's a work. It's not real. All that. Well, I got news for you guys. In the WWE, unless things changed, the referees are instructed, if a guy's not kicking out, you know, especially if it's not a main event, if a guy's not kicking out, pin him. You know, that's just the way it goes. I mean, if a guy's outside the ring too long, and it happened to me, I almost got counted out in the house show. I mean, they were really going to count me out. I was outside stalling. I had heat with the audience. I think I was in Boston, and I was yelling with the audience as a New York guy getting heat, and the match was already in progress. I think, I don't remember who I was wrestling, maybe Bob Holly. I can't recall. And I almost legitimately got counted out, and I got yelled at. You know, you don't know. You'll get counted out here for real. I'm like, wow, really? Jeez, I thought it was a work, right? But so the referees, and I love that, they keep the wrestlers on their toes, and if the ref don't pin you, if your shoulders aren't up, especially if it's a non-main event, because there's a double standard, obviously, but so if the referees don't pin you or count you out, you know, they're going to get heat, the ref. So the ref's doing his job. And I really think, I just think Cody got caught. I mean, I might be wrong. Maybe that was the finish they wanted. It just seemed very, you know, out of nowhere. It seemed a little bit odd the way his the referee's cadence on his slap of the mat. One, two. And even that third slap was not like a pinfall. One, two, you know, boom, boom, boom. It wasn't like that. It was boom, 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 which means I don't want to do it, but I got to pin you. So, again, that's, I watched it in my home like you all, a lot of you guys did, and that's, I don't have any inside info on this deal here. I'm just telling you, it seemed to me like the ref pinned him on a shoot. That's what it seemed like. You know, but whatever, I thought the angle after, later on, the pre-tape they did, or if it was live, whatever it was, with Stardust and Goldust and Dusty Rhodes was good. I mean, they're putting a lot of heat on Stardust, on Cody, so I think they're doing a good job with that. I think it's really cool, and it's always great to see the Dream, man. Make a Dream, Dusty Rhodes. It's always great to see him, obviously, on TV or in person. I miss him. He's a great guy, good guy. Always makes you laugh. So where are we going here? So I was talking about the angle with Goldust and Stardust. Okay, yeah, boom, tag match. Tyson Kidd and Cesaro versus the Usos. And I like the match. I love the Usos. I love the energy these guys bring. They come out, they're the WWE Tag Team Champions, and they come out, and it just, their entrance is totally placed at the right time. I kind of knocked the booking they did at this pay-per-view with that six-man a few moments ago. Now I'll put it over. They know it's going to be kind of an emotional, flat moment because Dustin just got his rear end whooped by his younger brother, and his younger brother cuts a promo on his dad's face. You know, and it's kind of like a bring me down moment. So now they bring you up with that exuberant, high energy, youthful, exciting entrance of the Usos. You know, with them doing their whole Polynesian Samoan chant, and it kicks into that hip hop, beat and stuff like that. It's very cool, and I think it picks the people back up, at the people watching at home and the people in the house. You know, and the people in the house in Memphis started to come to life a little bit during this match because I think it was the way, you know, you got four guys that could go. That, you know, they got pretty good chemistry, the Usos and against Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. And, you know, I thought it was a really good match. I really, really did. And they ended up putting the titles, as most of you guys know, on, they took them off the Usos, put them on Tyson, on Kidd and Cesaro. And you know what? I think that's a good move because the Usos don't need the titles anymore. They just don't. I mean, these kids are getting over. They're over to a pretty good level right now and definitely don't need it. You know, that's, you want to put the titles on the guys that need it. You know, and I think right now that other team definitely needed it. So I think that they put the titles on the right guys, on Kidd and Cesaro. So, but it was a good match, real good match. I thought it was well placed. And then it got to that big moment with that face-to-face deal with Triple H and Sting. And it was, you know, Triple H comes out, he's got a leather jacket, his old fists are all taped up, he's ready for a fight, and jeans, he's not in a dress code, wink, wink. You know, he's in his street fighting clothes, and the announcers pointed that out, which is right. I think Triple H went to the ring the right way. That's how he should have dressed, you know. And it seemed like a fight was going to happen or whatever, and he cuts his promo, calls Sting out there. I think they showed the package first, which I can watch that package forever. I think it's awesome. When Hunter's sitting there and you see the paint kind of getting on his face and the crow sound and all the crazy graphics and the lighting that they showed in the package. Huge fan of that thing. I love that. I was really well done by the folks in the WWE studios in Connecticut. Great production crew there for years, Kevin Dunn's team. So I thought that was great to see that again. But now Sting comes out, and this is where it was like a little weird. As he's walking down the aisle, and he got this initial big pop, and then it died down because the crowd in Memphis just wasn't hot in the early goings of the show. And it just was really, I'm wondering, as he's walking down the aisle, I'm like, okay, you know, this guy was a household name forever. They're wrestling in the South in Memphis, so especially during his days in UWF and, of course, in the NWA into WCW. I mean, and Sting's a household name worldwide. We know that. But, you know, and then throughout his years in TNA, but it was kind of a weird reaction for him. I mean, it wasn't a sustaining pop. It was really weird. You know, it's a big building. There's a lot of people in it. And think it was kind of a set thing. Hey, the audience sucks. Okay. He came out, and as he's walking out, I'm like, man, I wonder, again, armchair booking, I wonder if it would have been better to have him walk out, not through the audience, because that's Roman Reigns' thing, but something else from somewhere else or something. It just seemed like every other wrestler walks out from behind the stage and the video wall and the curtain and all that jazz. It just seemed like, man, something would have been, I don't know what that is. I don't know if it could have been propelled down through something on the out of the top of the arena, or if maybe he's up top and he worked his way down, but that wouldn't make sense. I'm thinking out loud here, obviously. Just something. It just seemed weird. I mean, maybe if they would have brought the lights down, put a spotlight on him, something. I don't know. Just something. It needed something when he walked out, when Sting walked out. It just, for me, in my view, it just didn't seem special. You know, you got Triple H coming out, and he's like, all right, well, I know you're here, whatever, I'm paraphrasing. Come on out here, wherever you are, whatever. Dude, he just walked out of the same spot you walked out of. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, I'm overbooking here, you know, but if you're ever in a booking meeting or a production meeting or an agent meeting, this is kind of what happens. You outbook yourself because you have to. You got to try and come up with the right thing, and I'm sure WWE had their reasons why Sting just walked out. But look, at the end of the day, no one's going to remember where he walked out. I'm being picky here, I guess. But he gets in the ring, Sting does, and Hunter, you know, Triple H cuts this awesome, sick promo. I mean, great promo. I really enjoyed it, you know, talking about your legacy. It'll be on DVD. It'll be on the WWE Network. I mean, I'll even put you in the Hall of Fame. It was so heelish. Triple H really knocked this promo out of the freaking park. It was awesome. And Sting had that stoic look on his face. It was great. And Triple H had to do everything on his own. He had to just do the promo reading Sting's face, and Sting had the right facials on. You know, for whatever their reasons are, Sting's not talking right now, but it was he didn't need to. I mean, the whole promo was done with, you know, once Triple H chopped that sledgehammer, you know, and put the ball bat, the baseball bat barrel under the chin of Triple H, pointed to the WrestleMania sign, there was no talking needed. It just got a huge pop when you know, and people got it right away, what Sting was talking about, and then Hunter sold it great, looked up out of corner's eyes, oh, God, this guy wants to fight me at WrestleMania. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, armchair booking and overbooking. Okay, dude, the guy's got the baseball bat to your chin like it's a shotgun, and you're afraid to move. That was a little funky, you know, but, you know, it was a pro wrestling moment, I guess. I mean, they're in Memphis. They could do those crazy Memphis stuff, Memphis booking stuff, right? It works, right? So, no, but I thought it was cool. I did. And I just think, and they made it official that Sting will face Triple H. I think that's a massive, massive match. I mean, I think people just want to see that. It's kind of like, you know, this big clash. But then I'm listening to the announcers, and then they make it official. They make a big deal out of it, doing it on camera, and they show a graphic, Sting versus Triple H at WrestleMania. And I thought that was cool. They know how to presentate things the right way, WWE. Everything's big. They sensationalize everything. They do it the right way, and that's how it should be. By going through it on camera with your announcers and showing a graphic and breaking news, yada, yada, that works. I mean, that was done well. But it seemed like the announcers, and they're getting direction from their bosses, but it wasn't said like this, so don't kill me here. It was like WCW versus WWE, like the guy from WCW, Sting, versus the guy from WWE. That's a little bit of a stretch. I'm sorry. It really is. That's a little bit of a stretch. WCW was many, many years ago. I don't think a lot of people don't remember. These younger fan base, they don't remember this stuff. They don't. They don't remember. They don't remember. I mean, TNA fans that are there, they're going to remember, obviously. And they remember that it's being ignored, as I said before, that Sting was in TNA for many years, up until recent. So, but that's, you know, just going to be ignored. We kind of went through that in different podcasts here with myself. But I just don't, I mean, I just hope that they don't go with this whole sell job. Hey, I'm Triple H, and I'm the guy waving a WWE flag, and you, Sting, you're the guy that was waving a WCW flag. Ah, I hope they don't go forward with that, because I got to tell you, it cements my point in my brain while I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, I know the words the announcers are saying. They didn't sell it hard. It might have been JBL. I think that's who it was who said, and again, I don't remember his exact words, the guy from WCW. He's the WCW guy or something like that about Sting. And I'm like, oh, man, don't go this way down the road here, Vince. I hope not. Yeah, I just don't think it's the right way to go because people don't remember it. And to cement my point in that, when Ambrose came out, he got a sick pop, like insane, sustainable pop, because he's young. It's a young man's business. He's a young guy. You know what I mean? So he got the right reaction because the fan base knows him now. He's in the current. They don't have to remember him. They're enjoying their time as a wrestling fan watching Ring of Honor or WWE or TNA or whatever they're watching, you know, and they know Dean Ambrose is one of the young guns right now in the biz. And this is one of the guys from our generation. You know, Sting's from my dad's generation. You know what I'm saying? Like, so maybe that's why Sting didn't get a huge sustainable pop. I don't know. Maybe it was the acoustics in the building. That could happen. Maybe it was a bigger pop and it just didn't sound it. I don't know. I'll put every qualifier there is. I mean, I don't want to critique for no, just a critique, but I'm just giving points for you guys to think about things that I noticed, my observations, and I'm just kind of sharing with you what I felt during like a Sting entrance or a Dean Ambrose entrance. Also, I want to say one thing too. So they did, I think it was an on camera, whatever it was, a graphic, and they showed some clips of I think it was Muscle Fitness magazine where Vince McMahon, who looks amazing, is on the cover and in the magazine, and they're focusing on him. They took some bites of Vince's interview, and you know, I saw somebody on Twitter. I can't recall who it was. One or two people were saying, the announcers are saying things that's funny or whatever. Vince McMahon's feeding them lines about himself. I will wave Vince's flag here. All my years there, anything that we've had to sell Vince on when he was a character or outside of being a character on television about him, he had never fed me anything in my year ever. I can't speak for Michael Cole, but I don't think he did. It was just, you know, we knew we had to sell. I can tell you that Vince never came off that way to me. He never came off with an ego. Hey, make sure you put me over like this, pal. Say this about me. Hey, do this, pal. Do this. You know, I had to go to him. Vince, how do you want to handle this? Whatever you think. You know, he was really cool about it. Like, when it came to him, like, he wasn't like an ego guy. Like, he didn't come off that way. You know, really. But if you sold one of the talents the wrong way, he'd ream your ass. You know, and rightfully so. So whoever said those couple of tweets, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about, and you've never been there, and you're wrong. I'll defend Vince on. That's just not true. He wasn't like that, and maybe he's like that now. I doubt it. I really, really doubt it, but he never fed nothing in my ear pertaining to him to put him over more. So, I said now, Ambrose now, he wrestles Barrett. And, man, I'll tell you, I thought it was a good match. You know, Ambrose has that intensity. It was a good match. I mean, was it like, oh, my God, this is a must-see match? I don't think so, but it was good. It was strong. It was definitely strong. The finish was just a DQ where Ambrose got disqualified. And it just was like, what? It just was weird. I mean, I don't know what happened there. It seemed like something was a little fugazi on that, but, you know, that's what happened. And then, and then the other thing I want to talk about before we talk about the main event was I want to talk about Cena and Rusev also because that was awesome. But Undertaker, things are just going through my brain. So the whole Undertaker deal, so his entrance and all this jazz, and then it ends up being Bray Wyatt, which I had like so many different thoughts in my head when I heard Undertaker's music because, man, I can't begin to tell you how many matches that I've sat ringside for Undertaker and called his matches, had the pleasure of calling his matches, and hearing that music was like, oh my God, it brought back a lot of memories for me as an announcer on SmackDown. It really, really did. I just wanted to share that here. It really just brought back memories. I mean, good memories, all good memories. I love Undertaker. I love him. I miss him. I haven't talked to the guy in a long time. Just super, super person. a pro's pro. It was great. I would love to say it was great to see him at Fastlane, but we didn't see him. So it was the Undertaker's music and entrance, which looked great. And I was watching the show with my son, right? He's 15. He always just says, Dad, what's going to happen? Like, he thinks that I know every single thing that's going to happen before it happens. I mean, I'm right a lot of the times, but I'm not right all the times. And this is one of those times where I was not right. Because the way they were shooting the camera angle of the coffin rolling down towards the ring with the pallbearers, and you can see the WrestleMania sign. I'm like, all right, they're training everyone here. That Undertaker will be back at WrestleMania, and he's going to sit up out of this coffin once they open up this coffin and point right to that WrestleMania sign, and that building in Memphis is going to go berserk. Well, I was wrong. They opened up that coffin, and Bray Wyatt was in there, so laughing, and it was just like he took the air out of the building. And I'm thinking a lot of things. I'm like, wow, that was really cool. I enjoyed it. But did they just kill this poor kid, right? You know, because you're waiting for Taker to come out, and this guy just bogarted the Undertaker's entrance. But I don't think that's ever been done. It might have. I don't know. But if it has been, I'm sure one of you guys will correct me via Twitter. So feel free. But it was amazing. The buzz and heat that Bray Wyatt got, and the kid cut us just a great promo. Basically punking out the Undertaker, saying, dude, you're out of gas. I used to fear you. You're done. You're done. You're washed up, done, and I want to face you at WrestleMania and whoop your ass. That's basically the premise of the promo. Like, you got nothing left. I'm Bray Wyatt. I don't fear you no more. You're Undertaker, and I'll beat you down. So it seems like that's probably going to end up happening. God, I mean, you want to make Bray Wyatt in that Undertaker WrestleMania match. That's how you do it. He flat out took Taker's entrance, and it was done perfectly. Really was done perfectly. And again, how does anyone not like a Bray Wyatt promo? The kid is just so talented. I think it would have been nice to see him do that exact same thing on Raw, because more people would have seen it or saw it, whatever the proper grammar is. Again, another thing you guys would correct me on Twitter. But yeah, I just think it would have been seen by more people, you know, on Raw. I mean, I know the WWE Network's free right now and all this jazz, but a lot of people just aren't going on there to watch this stuff. They're going to watch Raw. They're going to watch wrestling on TV. They're not going to, you know, watch it on a computer or through their TV from a computer. I mean, I'm not saying everybody doesn't, but, you know, I don't think the casual fan is doing that. I just don't. I might be wrong, but I don't think they are. I come from that school of, if you want more people to see it, don't do it on pay-per-view. Do it on free TV. You know, so, but you know what? They'll B-roll it, meaning they'll show the footage a bunch of times tomorrow night on Raw. You could bet your bottom dollar on that, because that's the right way to do it. I definitely think it'll be an interesting match with Taker and Bray Wyatt to see how that goes down. And I want to say one more thing before I go on into the John Cena and Rusev. Rusev, I got to tell you, I mean, I'm not like some expert. I've wrestled, you know, lots of matches for a lot of years and trained guys and been an announcer for a lot of years and been in different meetings. I've kind of humbly say I've been all different facets of the business behind the scenes for over 25 years. So sometimes you could just tell if guys have chemistry. And that little bit of physicality we saw Triple H and Sting have, on WWE Fastlane on that pay-per-view, I got to tell you right now, I think they're going to have a great match come Mania, man, whatever those guys do, because there was just something there. They definitely had a chemistry. Triple H and Sting definitely had a physical chemistry. Two guys in the twilight of their careers, obviously, and you could still sense, man, they still both have that it factor. All due respect to my man Bobby Roode, right? But they have that it factor, and they you could just kind of, I could just smell that chemistry, really just flowing right out. It just seemed like it was right there for me. And now we move on. So John Cena and Rusev. I got to tell you, this match I thought was going to be pretty good. Man, it was great. I loved it. I thought it was off the chain. I mean, I still don't get how so many people just bash Cena and rip the guy. This guy works his ass off, dudes. Works his ass off for years. This sumbitch has zero complacency in his body. Respect this dude, man. This guy works hard. Hard. And the big heel he's working with worked his rear end off. That kid showed what he's made of. That guy is money. Big loot, big payoff with that guy. These two guys had a tremendous match. Two big, strong, thick guys worked their nuts off, working submission holds. I mean, let me tell you, man, look, anybody out there that's a wrestler listening to this knows where I'm coming from or trains guys or is taking bumps. When you're late in a match and you put on any type of submission like a camel clutch type or a cross face type where someone's trapping your arm behind you or hooking your head or sitting on your friggin' lower back, wrenching back your head that late in the match, I'm going to tell you right friggin' now, straight up gut check time. That is physically draining, exhausting, tough. I mean, your body, you could almost feel it starting to break down from losing the energy and the flame in your body just dwindles. And these guys push themselves physically. Again, two big body guys. These aren't, you know, cruiserweights here or old school TNA X Division guys that are flying around as far as the size of their bodies. These are two big cats, you know, in that 260, 275, 285 range, you know. These are big, big dudes, man. I mean, John Cena's a big son of a bitch. TV doesn't do this guy justice. John's a big dude, man. Big, thick-bodied, strong guy. And Rusev, you can just see how big he is. So, I mean, I love the match. You could hear it in my voice. I just respected the match. I truly love the physicality. And speaking of physicality, goes into the main event of, you know, Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. I mean, geez, you got to respect, again, these two guys, younger guys, the physicality they brought as this match built and went later on into the match. They really got after it and beat the piss out of each other and pounded each other and kicked each other and cracked each other. Another guy like Reigns, how do you not respect this guy? Seriously, how do you not respect this guy? This guy works his ass off also. And it was almost like at the end of this thing, when Roman Reigns won the match, you know, smart booking here, okay? Because Vince McMahon and company and Triple H and Stephanie, their creative team, whoever came up with the mindset, it's probably Vince and Triple H on this and Stephanie, but the mindset of, okay, this guy won at the Royal Rumble, and now you're going to poop on this guy, no problem. We're going to make this guy jump through hoops. Of course, the normal man and woman, average Joe and average Jane, can relate to their boss making them jump through hoops at work to get things. And that becomes an anti-establishment thing, and that pisses people off. Well, that's what they did here with Roman Reigns. They made him jump through hoops. So you got to go to Fastlane. Then you're going to wrestle the Daniel Bryan. Now, okay, after he beat Rollins, I think it was. And now you got to beat Daniel Bryan, and he did. So he jumped through that hoop, and it was a tough hoop to jump through. And it shows you at the very tail end, after the match was over, and a great match, tip my cap to these two young men. Great job. But when Daniel Bryan gets in the face of Roman Reigns and he announces layout and he says to him, and the announcers don't talk, so you can hear the in-ring talent. And Daniel Bryan says, you know, and I'm paraphrasing again, you know, you better kick his ass, you better take out Lesnar, whatever he said. That shows you, that's kind of like what they're doing there is they're taking a guy like Daniel Bryan, a big-time babyface, and kind of, I don't want to say passing the torch because these guys are in the same generation, same age, but kind of giving him that babyface, true babyface rub. Like, it's like Daniel Bryan is endorsing and embracing Roman Reigns to go after Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. You know what I mean? So I think that I think it was done well. I think that the last few segments of the show, a few matches, were all done perfectly. And that main event, like I just said, was done great. So, all in all, I thought WWE Fastlane was a really good show. I mean, I definitely think you want to check it out if you're a WWE fan or just a casual wrestling fan. And I think the undercard wasn't booked right, and I think that's why the audience was dead. I mean, if you're going to treat the undercard like an undercard, you're going to book it like an undercard, you're going to get an undercard reaction. That's the way I see it. But you booked your main event, your semi, and your other big angles big, and it got the right reaction. So, I mean, I think... real quick before I go, I'll give you my ECW rant on that. I'm sorry, I don't want to be that ECW guy, but I will be. You know, back in the day in ECW, I mean, we made sure, I mean, Heyman, I should say, made sure every segment meant something. Every one of the boys and girls meant something, you know, and it was booked the right way, and because we didn't have the resources and the money and the penetration TV-wise, so you had to embrace and take care of and nourish all those talents, and I didn't know that then, but Heyman did, and I learned that from watching the way he did things. And I'm not saying that the WWE was careless with their undercard tonight during WWE Fastlane, but I think they could have had a little bit more kid gloves on it, and maybe that audience wouldn't have reacted like that. I just think, nothing against the wrestler, I just think the booking needed to be done a little bit different. Again, just me playing Monday morning quarterback here. So all in all, I thought it was a really good show. Really enjoyed it. Congrats to all the crew there. They did a great job. And I hope you guys liked my Fastlane reaction. Stay tuned this week on a Human Podcast Machine dropping this Thursday. My guest will be Sabu. I'm Taz. You're not. See ya.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.